Good morning. This is the February 3rd, 2001, or excuse me, 2021 hearing of the Minnesota House Education Finance Committee. Remote hearings such as this are held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked to in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by House Public Information Services. Members, you have the contents of your of today's materials in your virtual packets available to you, and for the public, these same materials have been posted online. Members, if you're looking for all of these items in one place, they are attached in the calendar event that you have that Ms. Burt sent out for today. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise your hand via the app. Ms. Burt will place your name on the list to be recognized. If a member is on their phone and doesn't have access to the raise your hand feature, please email Ms. Burt and she will put your question in the queue. This is the digital equivalent of getting the attention of the chair or the committee administrator. An email from your House account with the subject line, please recognize, is all that is required if you're on the phone. Ms. Sunderland, would you please take the roll?
Chair Dabney.
Present.
Vice Chair Sanson.
Present.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Damon.
Present.
Representative Drazkowski. Representative Drazkowski. Representative Erickson.
Present.
Representative Feist.
Present.
Representative Jordan.
Present.
Representative Marquardt.
Present.
Representative Mueller.
Mueller, present.
Representative Richardson.
Present.
Representative Thompson is excused. Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
Representative Zhang.
Present.
And Representative Joachim.
Present.
That is the roll, and we do have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderland. Representative Wolgamond, have you had a chance to review the minutes from our Tuesday, February 3rd meeting? And if so, would you like to move approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I have thoroughly reviewed the minutes, and I would like to move their approval.
I believe that. Thank you very much, Representative Wolgamond. Is there any discussion to the Wolgamond motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve the minutes from February 2nd, I was a day ahead of myself. Please indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Members, you'll recall that this week we're spending significant time on examining potential solutions that seek to reimagine school climate and culture as a solution toward closing the racial disparities in education in Minnesota. We know that students having teachers who look like them is a crucial element to our school climate, and that Minnesota has a lot of work to do in this area. The Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers has been working on this issue for years. First, before we go to House File 217, we'll hear from the Professional Licensing and Standards Board on their teacher supply and demand report. Ms. Bailey, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having me here. My name is Elena Bailey. I'm the Director of Education Policy at Pelsby. I also have with me here today our Executive Director, Alex Liuzzi, who will be happy to help me answer questions should you have some on the data I'm going to present to you. So I am here on behalf of Pelsby to share information from our supply and demand report to give you some data to contextualize your discussion of the Increased Teachers of Color Act, as well as to share our board's support for this legislation. For the past 3 years, the board has voted to formally support this bill, and we are particularly excited about the way that it would formalize and ensure the continuation of work that we've been doing alongside MDE and the Office of Higher Education. So I will share my screen with you, and I'm going to present with you just a few tables of data from our recently published supply and demand report and offer some context here. All right. So the first slide here, and hopefully everyone can see it now, this is a depiction or a representation of all of the teachers who hold a license, currently hold an unexpired license, I should say, in the state of Minnesota. And it's broken down by tier and by race and ethnicity. And it's, we're giving you a percentage here. I will show you the raw numbers on the next slide. There's a couple of important things to note about this data though. First, we have removed the life licenses from this data. So life licenses were previously issued, and these are mostly held by older, predominantly white educators. So we removed them because many of those individuals are not necessarily using those licenses or a part of that supply to enter the classroom in our report. But that does change then the proportions of percentages you're seeing here, because they're predominantly held, again, by white educators. So that does shift some of what you're seeing here. I also want to make clear that these are licenses held, unduplicated headcount of individuals who hold a license, I should say, not necessarily individuals who are using that license in a classroom. So this is just giving you a picture of all the teachers that hold a license in our state. We offer this data with a bit of kind of a word of caution due to some changes that shifted from previous years in reporting in the way that this data appears. So I want to walk you through a few of those so that it helps maybe explain some differences you might notice from previous years. So the first is a change in reporting itself. So we get a lot of the race and ethnicity data from the staff automated reporting system. And there was a change in districts reporting where they were able to select multiple races for the first time, which impacted our change to now use these federal categories. So you'll notice the Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, and the multiracial categories. Those are new this year because, again, we're using these federal categories. So what this means is previously educators who were, white are now appearing as multiracial. So we had one district, for example, where 150 educators who were previously categorized as white were able to select white and another category. So they're now under that multiracial group. So that does change the picture here of what you see in terms of teachers of color. Another thing that we have to consider is some errors in reporting systems. So we had one large metro district, for instance, that had an error in their software that reported all of their white staff as another race and several other categories. So we worked to manually correct this, and we worked with IT to ensure changes going forward. But because of that and some other smaller districts, we offer kind of a word of caution around 100% confidence with some of that data. The final thing with this is the first picture you're getting of the tiered licensure system as a whole. So you had in 2018 those extensions, which means data reported before didn't give you a sense of now that everyone is required to hold a tiered license or be on this tiered system. So what that means is individuals who previously were counted as permissions, so non-licensed community experts, non-renewables, all those were previously considered permissions and not licenses. Many of those individuals now hold a tier one or a tier two license. So that changes again the shift here of what you're seeing. So all of that kind of to take away and say, we may consider this data and say there are some shifts and increases in the general percentages, small increases in percentages of teachers of color and indigenous teachers. But largely what you're seeing here is a change in how people are being counted this year. So I think that context is helpful when you're looking at this. I'm going to show you a slide that gives you the raw numbers in comparison to this. Partially because when you see some of these numbers here that have, 7% and 6% on these tiers in contrast to 1.9% and 1.2%, that might seem drastic until you see the raw numbers behind those. So this next slide is the same set of data. This is the number of teachers who hold a license broken down by tier and race and ethnicity, but it gives you the raw number of those individuals. You'll notice that the majority of teachers, over 104,000 teachers, hold a tier three or tier four license. So when you're looking and comparing those percentages, it doesn't give you the full picture when you consider the actual numbers of individuals behind those. So what are the takeaways that we would recommend that you kind of consider here? One is that we would urge the committee to really consider this. As you look at the Increased Teachers of Color Act, in particular, the setting of state goals to increase the numbers over time of teachers of color and Indigenous teachers in classrooms, that you really have a discussion of what that looks like. Is that teachers who hold that full professional license of a tier three or tier four? Is it teachers who hold any license? So that's something we would urge further discussion on. And then what we've seen, not in these tables, but in our supply and demand report, is that whatever minor increases we have in licenses in terms of teachers of color is largely offset, well, not largely, is entirely offset by issues of retention. And so something that we have proposed and would urge the committee and others to consider is a teacher survey that would alternate with the supply and demand report. Because this data, as we mentioned, comes from licensing applications and district reporting. So we don't have that direct data from teachers to say, what's your school climate like? Why are you staying? Why are you leaving? So we are proposing something that would alternate with the supply and demand report to give us more information on questions of retention and to deal with our attrition rates. So those would be some of those takeaways. The last slide that I'd like to show you is the proportion of teachers of color in contrast or comparison to students of color and Indigenous students. So this table, this data comes again from district data. So this is based off of assignment, meaning districts reporting who is working in their school, in their classrooms. A caution or a note about these numbers here is when you see that 5,497, that number may be duplicated across the districts. So you might have an individual who is working in multiple districts if they're teaching, art here and in another district, or even across regions if they're in overlapping areas. So it's not unduplicated. So the best way to think about this with that 7.28% is that teachers of color and Indigenous teachers represent a little over 7% of assignments held in the state, not that they represent 7% of teachers in classrooms. So it's not an unduplicated headcount here. But again, the bigger takeaway is when you contrast those percentages to students of color and Indigenous students, we still have a gross disparity in, the teachers that are filling our classrooms in contrast to the students. So that disparity is still there, which is something that I hope you'll consider as you look through and the different kind of proposals in the Increased Teachers of Color Act to deal with that disparity. The last thing I'd like to share with you is just in relation to all that data that I've, given you today, a few provisions in the Increased Teachers of Color Act that we are particularly supportive of that we think would help to look at some of the gaps in data that you noticed, right, in terms of the disparities between teachers of color and students of color, and the issue of retention. So our board is very supportive of the measures that would support teacher preparation in terms of the Grow Your Own programs, in terms of the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educators of Color Grant. We're also very supportive of proposals to remove testing barriers. So our board has proposed moving content and pedagogy to tier four and removing basic skills, but our board also voted to support ITCA's stronger measures. Because of the research out there that shows that this isn't necessarily an effective measure of quality. Finally, when it comes to retention and not just getting those teachers of color and Indigenous teachers in the field, but keeping them there, the mentorship programs and grants, efforts to improve school climate through cultural competency, and curriculum changes that emphasize ethnic studies, heritage language programs are all measures that we are supportive that, again, would think they would help us meet that larger state goal. So I'll end there, and then I think Alex and I are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Bailey. We do have questions from at least one committee member. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Bailey, for your presentation. I have several questions. The first one is, why is the label where you have used numbers to delineate the tiers still reading permission holders when we don't have permission holders anymore?
Ms. Bailey, maybe if you could flip back to that slide. Is that possible?
All right, hopefully, Mr. Chair, members of the committee can see that, yes?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, that's a great question. To be fair, we took this table from the supply and demand report, which does include permissions, but you're right, the data we're showing here, we didn't include those. So by permissions, we mean out-of-field permissions and innovative program permissions. So we still issue permissions, but I did not include those in here, so I should have removed that from that. Great catch.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you for that correction. My second question is, you talk about supporting House File 217, which is going to be heard in this committee shortly, but you already heard it in policy. So your remarks about the goals that are set and the question as to whether we should be discussing whether teachers go for full professional, which I take umbrage to because all of the tier licenses are professional. But why would you be raising that that issue for us to discuss? Isn't that a decision that's made by an individual seeking a license? And especially if they're beginners moving into the system with their bachelor's of arts and a request from a district to hire them, that would be a decision that candidate or that person would make?
Ms. Bailey?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, thank you for that question. To clarify, you'll hear and you'll discuss later today, there's a proposal to establish a state kind of target of increasing teachers of color by a certain percentage, each year. And so we just are urging some more clarification around, is that target to increase people who hold a license like a tier three or tier four that can move from district to district that is renewable without limitation, or is it to just increase teachers of color who hold any tiered license? That is absolutely a discussion for you all as legislators to have, not, you know, us to tell you what to do there. We just were urging some more discussion in that regard.
Thank you.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Chair. Another question for Ms. Bailey. Can't PELSB do a survey on their own without asking the legislature to require a survey? And this is your statement on retention.
Ms. Bailey.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, another excellent question. We have been trying to get the survey up and running, and I'm sure Alex may be able to speak to the budget aspect a little bit more. But it's my understanding that the time and the effort and the financial aspect of that has been something we haven't been able to do yet, but it is something our board has been supportive of, and as soon as we can, we would like to do that. It's just been a matter of those aspects. Maybe, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you'd like Alex to speak to that a little bit as well.
Ms. Luigi, you want in?
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alex Liuzzi. I'm the Executive Director of the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board. Just reiterate Ms. Bailey's point, we have been attempting. It does appear that to do a report of that level would be approximately $50,000, which on a smaller budget with 22 staff, that would be a little bit more challenging for us. We continue to look at next fiscal year as a possibility. As you know, we've been working diligently with our IT system, so all additional funds have had to go to our IT work, but hopefully in years to come, if it's not become a legislative priority, hopefully we could pull some of that out of our budget as well to do that survey. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Chair. Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Luigi, good to see you, having worked with you many years. What is the objection to getting rid of testing? I know I heard Ms. Bailey say that it is not a measure, but isn't that an insult to our profession to say to them a pedagogy and a content test is not necessary because it doesn't prove anything? I mean, would you comment on, as a board executive director, why a board would discuss an issue like this from that perspective?
Mr. Luigi.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, thank you for the question. We've been having a lot of discussions recently about what the data shows us as a barrier for teachers of color specifically, which is why we're addressing it here. Nationally, and Ms. Bailey's been wonderful, or Dr. Bailey, I should say, has been wonderful in her research in this area for our agency, specifically with the skills exam showing that it does not have a relationship to efficacy as a teacher for the skills exam. So for the board's proposal this year, in looking at our tier two data and at the requirements for tiered licensure, our recommendation is that the skills exam be removed from a tier four and that the content in the pedagogy exams move to tier four instead of being that barrier for a tier three. What we've seen is that 38% of our tier two teachers have completed teacher preparation. They're just individuals for some reason or another have not been able to pass the content or the pedagogy skills. And the data that we're hoping to pull for the board in the next few months, we're currently in the RFP process for a testing vendor for the next 5 years. So we're waiting for that process to finish. We want to look at what those scores are and what the demographic passing rates are for those exams. We have, as a board, have always considered the content of the pedagogy exam one of many measures that are used to assess how a teacher's professional development. We think teacher preparation is extremely important. We also now have the EdTPA as a performance assessment that's used as a measure for teacher preparation providers. So we think there's lots of tools out there now to consider many more ways that might not be as much of a barrier, but still be able to more effectively measure efficacy in the classroom.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Luigi, isn't the onus on the teacher preparation programs, though, when it comes to whether or not a candidate has the content, and this is very basic content for that particular subject area or areas, you know, as an elementary, it's different from high school. Isn't that responsibility for both content and pedagogy on those teacher ed programs?
Mr. Luigi?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, it is actually, and in statute, there is the that teacher preparation providers are required to give supports to their candidates who haven't passed those exams. So the onus is on them for that support, but I would let teacher prep providers speak to you. Both now we have, as you're all aware, many four alternative pathways in the state. Let representatives of those institutions and organizations speak to the supports that they have provided and still the barriers that they see teachers face with those exams, even when they have extreme preparation in the content and the pedagogy, still having struggles with those exams for multiple reasons.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you. Final question, Mr. Luigi. Is the tier system working?
Mr. Luigi?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson. Whoa, that's a broad question.
You bet it is.
Here's what I would say. The licensure system that we had before tiered licensure was extremely unclear. And having clarity in how teachers can access becoming a teacher has been extremely helpful. Understanding how to move up those tiers has been extremely helpful. As legislators worked on the details of what's within each tier, there added some significant complexity, specifically within renewing of tiers, and that tier two license has had some extreme confusion and complexity within it. So we do have some recommendations this year that we're bringing forward that we believe are some technical changes that would specifically help out-of-state teachers, specifically help teachers in Minnesota with some of the barriers that they've seen in there. For example, a tier four individual must have 3 years of teaching in Minnesota. We believe that we could help streamline out-of-state teachers if we allowed that 3 years to be in any state. So there's a few minor things that we think could help tiered licensure, but in general, what we have seen with the data, and again, this is only the first year of data that we have of full transition to tiered licensure, because every license was extended for a year, so this is our first full year. It looks like the non-licensed community expert and some of the other license types have effectively moved to that tier one and tier two and have helped districts meet some of that need that they've had there. Now we just need to help make sure that it's clear and that we haven't put up any unnecessary barriers when we moved into tier licensure.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Luigi, are those the proposals brought forth in House File 217, those changes to which you were just referring?
Mr. Luigi.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, thank you for that clarification. They are not. This is not our bill. We are just speaking to the data related to this bill. Pelsby has separate proposals that we hope will be heard at a different time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Libeshi.
Any other questions from members for either Ms. Dr. Bailey or Ms. Luigi? Seeing none, thank you both for your time. And Dr. Bailey, members may not be aware, is the author of How the Streets Were Made, Housing Segregation and Black Life in America, which is a nominee for a Minnesota Book Award this year. That's fantastic. I took a few minutes. I checked out the book. It looks like some pretty heady but insightful stuff. So I may just have to order a copy from my local independent bookstore. Congratulations on the publication and the nomination. Good luck with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, we're awaiting Representative Hassan, the chief author of House File 217. She is presenting a bill in another committee, and staff have been working madly behind the scenes to try to coordinate between the two committees. We're anticipating that she'll be here in a few minutes. So at this point, we will go into recess at the call of the chair. Again, I hope that it'll only be for a few minutes. I'd urge members to turn off your audio so we don't hear you bustling around while we've got a few minutes break here. But the committee is now in recess to the call of the chair. Thank you very much. Welcome back, committee members. Welcome back, members of the public. We'll be bringing before us House File 217. Representative Hassan has joined us, the chief author. I do want to note that there are three amendments that have been provided the committee for this bill. We will be acting on all three amendments today. So I know that testifiers were given certain time limits for their presentation. I would ask that you focus your statements. We've got limited time, but we do want to hear from you. But we want to hear from all of you, which requires folks to be focused on your testimony and hold to no more than the time allotted and less if you can, so that we can work through these the bill and the amendments. Representative Marquardt, would you like to make the motion to move House File 217 to be before the committee and laid over for possible inclusion or for further consideration at a later date?
Mr. Chair, I will make that motion.
Thank you very much, Representative Marquardt. With that, Representative Hassan, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record. Please introduce your bill. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today we have House File. Today I present you with House File 217, an act relating to education, strengthening the Increase Teachers of Color Act, seeking to increase the percentage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers in Minnesota, requiring reports, appropriating money, and amending several Minnesota statutes. This bill includes a variety of provisions aimed at attracting and preparing more teachers of color and indigenous teachers, increasing the percentage who complete preparation programs, and increasing the percentage that remain in the teaching profession, with the goal of helping the state to meet its goal of providing all students with equitable access to effective and diverse teachers who reflect the diversity of their students. Before I have Mr. Paul Spies do a walkthrough of the bill, I wanted to share a personal story to shed a light on the importance of having teachers of color and American Indian teachers in our classrooms. As some of you might know, my family and I fled from war to come to this country as refugees. Upon our arrival, I realized my worldview has changed overnight. Imagine a 10-year-old who grew up thinking the world was black, arriving in Jacksonville, Florida, where almost everyone was white. What a cultural shock. My sibling and I were enrolled in public school, and besides my ELL teacher, Mrs. Lee, I had no teachers of color until my freshman year in college. Professor Johnson, who taught interpersonal communication, if I was able, I would have taken Professor Johnson's course over and over throughout my college experience, as the impact he has made in my life was profound. For the first time, someone dared to talk about systemic racism, oppression, and the criminalization of Black people in America. My whole public educational experience has been with some passionate educators who neither understood my culture nor my struggle about how I came to this country, and others who were joy killers, who continuously reminded me how I would never amount to anything I have been told over and over not to waste my money, as college was not for me. My survival depended on my family's support, which was plenty. Both my parents were believers of education being the key to lead successful and productive life. Thank God for that.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Dr. Spies, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Chair Dabney and members. My name is Paul Spies, Legislative Action Team Lead with the Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers in Minnesota. I'm going to share my screen. I'd like to thank you for hearing this bill so early in session, making it one of your priorities. Can you affirm that you can see?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So this is the fifth version of the Increased Teacher of Color Act. It combines our last 2 years' proposals and strengthens some of the language. We also included four sections from the governor's policy bill last year. There are three main objectives to reach the main goal of increasing the percentage of teachers of color. So it's a comprehensive bill that with interconnected proposals needed to move the needle. Running through the bill sections, section one amends the world's best workforce by adding some key definitions. Section two clarifies what district plans should include and strengthens what those district plans would include. Section three makes alignment between the district advisory committee recommendations and subdivision two for the strategic plans for world's best workforce. Section four, equitable school enhancement grants. These would support the districts implementing world's best workforce. And I just wanted to mention that I forgot a couple slides ago, in the lower left-hand corner of the screen, you see those dots for those key objectives for increasing preparation, increasing retention, and increasing program completion. So you see the purpose of each section in those dots. Section five addresses the state goal and accountability report that we've been proposing for years. Section six and seven are two of the policies from the governor's policy bill last year that we've included on curriculum policy and state model policy. Sections eight and nine address licensure statutes to attract Tokayit from outside of Minnesota. Section 10 addresses the licensure testing to remove barriers for white and Tokayit program completers. Section 11 and 12 amends tenure statutes to attract Tokayit from outside of the state. Section 13 is the Come Teach in Minnesota Hiring Bonuses pilot program that we originally proposed in 2019 and for which those previous amendments would help address. Section 14 and 15 make some tweaks to the administration of the Collaborative Urban Greater Minnesota Educator of Color program. Section 16 expands the types of Grow Your Own programs that would be possible for grant funding in the state. Section 17 amends the Teacher Mentorship and Retention Grant Program. And I would just like to say that we would agree that Amendment 8 that was posted would be an acceptable amendment to the coalition. Section 18 addresses principal evaluation statute from the governor's bill last year. Section 19 addresses the governor's policy bill again in terms of allowing Native American students to wear tribal regalia at graduation. And another example, like the world's best workforce, of key policy language to help increase Tokayit retention and attract more BIPOC people into the profession, are amendments to the Achievement and Integration Program statute. So as a finance committee, here's the overview of the requested appropriations. We understand that there's uncertainty around the budget and everybody's awaiting for the forecast coming up. But we note here in our appropriations request that this amount is just 0.2% of total E12 budget. And we appreciate as much as possible that you can support this effort. So with that, that's the overrun of the bill. I'll take questions later. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Spies. First, I'd like to note that Representative Drazkowski has joined the committee today for the hearing. Next, I have Howie Emeru, a student at Minneapolis South High School. Mr. Emeru, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair.
My apologies, ma'am.
It's okay. Good morning, Chair Dabney and members. My name is Howie Emeru. I'm a South High 10th grader in Minneapolis. I grew up in Ethiopia with teachers watching over me like a family would. I came to the U.S. when I was 10. For the most part, I was nervous and scared about speaking English. My first attempt of being bold and speaking to my teacher with the little English I knew was to ask to go to the toilet. And my teacher looked at me as if I was speaking an alien language. After that, I stopped speaking to my teachers completely. And I was rewarded for being respectful because I was quiet. I remember how my teachers targeted my classmate who was Black American, spending half an hour of class talking about how much of a bad kid he was for the way he talked and the way he wore his pants slightly down from his hips. I just stayed quiet because I had not met racism. Not yet. In 6 years of attending school in the U.S., I have not had a teacher of color. In middle school, I remember my white teacher making a racist statement saying to the whole class, "White kids are smarter than you because they were born here." This was my exposure to racism in school. I had respected him. At a young age, I was taught to respect older people because they had wisdom. But he was just racist. We need teachers who understand firsthand different cultures and who see our potential for all we youths have to offer the world. We need more role models in our school who look like us and speak our home languages. You say, the future of our youth, the future of our world belongs to the youth. Then shouldn't we be treated as such with love and care? If not, how would our future look like? I ask you to adopt the full funding request for the Increased Teacher of Color Act, because my peers and I don't have access to teachers who reflect our diversity. Please pass this bill to make a better future for all students of color in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Emeru. Next, Angelica Turalba Lagu, a teacher from Minneapolis South High School. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Dabney and committee members. My name is Angelica Turalba Olagi. I grew up in Southside, Minneapolis. I graduated from Minneapolis Public Schools, and I've come back as an ESL teacher at South High School. As an immigrant and former EL student, I have the lived experience of what my students are going through in the education system. I understand the language barriers, the cultural differences, and the limited navigational skills that prevent many of our students and families from fully participating in classes, conferences, and school events. They've told me that sharing my own experiences as an EL student helped them to become more confident and gave them a voice. I've been called Abayo by our Somali families, and my Spanish-speaking students have called me Tia. This is a big honor because our EL students are highly relational. Many have been separated from their family members, and they strongly value their extended families. We need more ESL teachers who come from immigrant backgrounds. We need more teachers of color who can teach content and also be that cultural bridge for our students. Many of my students, including white students, say I'm the first teacher of color they've had. The impact that teachers of color have is profound across the board. By having more of us, we would send an important message that people of color can hold positions of authority. We would break many stereotypes that hold many BIPOC people down. In order to increase more teachers of color, we must prioritize and fully fund the spending proposals in this bill. We need to expand funding for the collaborative urban education programs throughout the state. This program made it possible for me to earn my ESL license after I already earned my bachelor's degree. We need to expand Grow Your Own programs for non-licensed staff to earn their bachelor's degree and their teaching license. I've worked with bilingual educators, behavior support staff, special education assistants who would make excellent teachers and are interested in pursuing it, but they've needed the financial resources to make this happen. We need to start at even a younger age to create a pipeline of teachers, candidates of color. Just before the pandemic, about a year ago, South High students planned a walkout. They asked for many things, and one of their main asks was for more teachers of color. My BIPOC colleagues and I have been advocating to make this happen for them. Next year, in partnership with Minneapolis College, our students will be able to take concurrent enrollment classes, which will give them hiring preferences for Minneapolis public school jobs. If we're serious about having more students of color attend college, we need to put resources and financial support to make that happen. Lastly, more funding for teacher mentorship and retention grants is important. For teachers of color, it is not enough to just recruit us. It is often very difficult working in predominantly white spaces with institutional policies and practices that are not designed for us, creating a hostile work environment, which too often pushes us out of the profession. After the tragedy of George Floyd in our school's neighborhood, our BIPOC staff at South High started an affinity group. This space provides collective mentoring support. I probably wouldn't be up here today providing this testimony had it not been for my BIPOC affinity mentoring group. It shouldn't take for us to have a national racial reckoning to get support that teachers of color have been asking for. Again, I'm urging you for support to fully fund the Increase Teachers of Color Act to ensure our state and school districts will follow suit with recruitment, preparation, and retention of teachers of color. Please remember that you're not only looking at a teacher, but you're also looking at a teacher delivering a message from her students. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Turalba Balagi. Next, we have Kadra Aiden, Benise Program Scholar and Teacher Candidate at Augsburg College. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Stephanie, and members. My name is Kadra Aiden. I am currently teaching fourth grade at Minnesota Math and Science Academy. My choice to become a teacher was not made lightly. This decision was not easy, but it was a reflection of what I wanted to do with my life. I have chosen a career in education because I believe that it is one of the most important functions performed in our culture. I believe that teachers, individually and collectively, have the ability to not only change the world, but also to improve it. I want to be part of a noble profession with the hope that one day being counted among those whom future teachers find inspiration. I want my student to learn in a safe and comfortable environment so that their self-esteem will be increased. Being an Easter scholar has made it possible for me to become a teacher. Being the daughter of immigrant household is not an easy task. It required a tremendous amount of responsibility. The financial benefit of this program helped me to relieve this stress. However, it was the support that kept me going. As I went through the program, I always had people in my corner that supported me and validated my experience as a person of color in a white dominated field. Thank you so much for financially supporting this program. It has changed my life and many others. I really hope the community provides even more financial support so that more candidates like me can be supported in becoming K-12 teachers, because our kids need more diversity in our classroom. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Aiden. Next testifier, Mr. Larry McKenzie, Interim Director of Pillsbury United Communities, Office of Public Charter Schools. Mr. McKenzie, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Larry McKenzie, and thank you, Mr. Chair and member of the committee. Good morning. I am here this morning proudly to speak on behalf of my four young, gifted, and Black granddaughters, Kyla, Lauren, Maya, Olivia, and the 9,000 students that I represent as part of Pillsbury United Communities Public Charter Schools. I'm here this morning to ask you to not only support the bill, but to truly invest in the next generation. For far too long, Black and brown kids have had to look out the window to see what a classroom teacher looked like. I'm here this morning to ask you to give those kids mirrors, people that to look at that look like themselves. our kids, even in the state of Minnesota, need to know that America is truly a rainbow that includes Native Americans, Asian Americans, Black, and Brown. And so, again, I'm asking you this morning to support this bill so that our children can stop looking out the window and have mirrors that reflect people that look like themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Last testifier in this section of the hearing, Dr. Michael Faber, Assistant Superintendent, Roseville Area Schools. Dr. Faber, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Michael Faber, Assistant Superintendent here in Roseville, not too far from you. I'm going to give you a perspective, building on the words and the comments of Larry McKenzie. As a young man growing up in North Minneapolis, I use athletics as a way to uplift and provide me with opportunities, as a way to impact the community, which was always my dream, to be a member of the North community and have a significant impact. Sponsoring and supporting this bill, especially in the time of the unrest of George Floyd, speaks to what's possible. And what I'm saying about what's possible, there is a window of opportunity for our young people here who can look at the possibility of being an educator to have an impact, a significant impact in a productive way on lives and the community by becoming a teacher. The expansion of the Way to Grow program and also the expectations around principal evaluation and working closely and amending and growing the world's best workforce, I believe will have a significant impact, not only just of achievements, but what's possible in our communities. Right now, this window of opportunity where people want to be allies in this work, people want systemic change, and that change comes through education and the opportunity to become teachers to support our communities. Really quick, I was the interim superintendent in Monticello, Minnesota. And the ability for not just students of color that are there, but white students to see an impact that a person of color can have is significant. I appreciate your time and this opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Faber. Members of the committee will now like to hear from anyone in the public who wishes to testify regarding House File 217. When this hearing was posted, the public was provided with instructions on how to sign up to testify during the public portion of the hearing. We'll proceed to hearing from those individuals who signed up. A note for members and the public, there's quite a bit of written testimony that has been posted to the committee webpage. Thank you for those who wrote letters in lieu of live testimony. Again, ask testifiers to be brief and focused and concise, let's say, in your testimony. Ms. McBee, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, can you all hear me okay?
We can. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Johanna McBee. I'm currently a junior at Washburn High School. I've had two teachers of color in my entire schooling career, one in middle school and one in high school. Growing up with brown skin in a society where everything revolves around whiteness, even your education is damaging, confusing, and traumatizing. I remember when I was 7 years old, I had grown to hate my skin and body with every inch of my soul, partly because of my experiences at school. And then came the phase that many Black children go through. Then came the question my mom hoped she'd never have to hear from me. Is there a way to lighten my skin, like bleach? My mom talked about an imaginary procedure. She talked about it like it was the most painful thing to ever experience and that it's really not worth it. That my skin was beautiful just the way it was. And of course I believed her, but still there was this feeling of estrangement. That feeling has stayed with me till this day. At school, I know I don't belong. How could I belong when my ancestors' existence in history books is short and brief? When my peers are surprised at how eloquently I speak? For when a teacher who looks like me teaching AP is rare? When a student looks like me taking IB is rare? When having darker skin makes you both invisible and a target at the same time in a space full of white students? When you're expected to fail, so don't even try? When they assume your capability is lower and theirs higher? When your humanity is questioned? Passing this bill to increase teachers of color shouldn't be in speculation. Everything proposed is a necessity long overdue. A bill centered around love and healing and community shouldn't create controversy. I know that passing this bill will not only begin systemic change, but also internal emotional change within students. I know that if 7-year-old me would have had a teacher of color to look up to, maybe she would have looked in the mirror and seen beauty. And maybe she would have seen a future educator. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Rizal Egaton House from Cloquet Middle School. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Daphne and members of the House Education and Finance Committee. And good morning. My name is Rizal Egaton House. I'm in eighth grade and go to Cloquet Middle School. I currently live in Fond du Lac, northern Minnesota. Something interesting about my education, I had 3 Ojibwe teachers in my elementary experience. My kindergarten, second, and third grade teachers, that is. Those teachers made me feel at home. They were kind and forgiving. They were one of the most important skills a teacher could have to me, the latter. I learned from them, and more than I think I would have without them. They started required things, including math, reading, English, etc. But I also got to learn about my Ojibwe ancestors and what they did. That's something that's not taught very often. And that's one example of what I gained from three teachers just being Ojibwe. I can guarantee all of you, somewhere out there right now, there's a person who could become a perfect teacher and give a kid or a class an education to light up their purposes. They could give their students a home, like how my teachers did. But because that person who could become a teacher is a person of color, we'll never know how. We'll never get a chance to help a student struggling through school and life. I believe that could change. I believe that the Increased Teachers of Color Act could help that person out there with the gift of teaching. And I believe that one day a kid could find a home in a classroom like I did. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much for yours. Shannon Geshek from the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. Ms. Geshek, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Shannon Geshek. I am a citizen of the Boy Sport Band of Chippewa and serve as the executive director at the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. Today, I also speak on behalf of the 3 ethnic councils and MIAC in strong support of the 2021 Increased Teachers of Color Act, House File 217. Since 2017, the councils have been united on the effort to systemically address the persistent shortage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers in the state of Minnesota. Our communities continue to endure the impacts of structural and systemic challenges that have only been exacerbated by COVID-19 pandemic. Addressing the severe shortage is key to narrowing our state's persistent opportunity and achievement gaps, which disproportionately impact our constituent communities and tribal nations. We are pleased that dozens of education organizations have expressed their endorsement despite having strong disagreements on other pieces of legislation. While we appreciate investments made over the previous biennia by the legislature in programs included in this bill, the data provided by the TOCATE Coalition clearly highlights the need of greater investment to meet the demand of teachers, candidates of color, and American Indian candidates. Research and data are clear and consistent. All students, including students of color and American Indian students, benefit from diverse teachers. In order for our great state to move forward in seriously addressing the egregious inequities that have contributed to the educational gaps, targeted and sustained investments in Grow Your Own programs, the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educator of Color Program, and teacher mentorship and retention programs help recruit, hire, and retain teachers who reflect the increasingly diverse student population in the classroom. We appreciate Chair Dabney's leadership in prioritizing the hearing of this bill and Representative Hassan's leadership in serving as its lead author. We strongly recommend that your committee fully support the 2021 Increased Teachers of Color Act, MIGWICH. Thank you for your leadership in doing what is right for all students in Minnesota.
Thank you, Ms. Geshek. Mr. Anderson, Stillwater Area Schools, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Eric Anderson, and I'm a licensed school counselor. I'm grateful to Representative Hassan, Chair Dabney, and to all of you on the Education Finance Committee for your tireless efforts and for this opportunity to share an important truth. In the fall of 1998, my first year in public education, I was collaborating with one of my high school juniors, Jackson, about his results on an interest inventory in which teacher had risen to the top. When I shared these results, I was met with a look of bewilderment and his matter-of-fact response, which he shared with a sense of certainty, still haunts me to this day. He said, "Mr. A, teaching is not for Black kids." How could this be? This student was successful academically, was a student athlete, was a leader in the school's peer counseling program, and was respected by students and staff alike. And yet, at that point, after spending 12 years in Stillwater Area Public Schools, Jackson had never had a teacher of color in any of his classrooms. We can and we must do better. One of the many strengths of HF 217 is that it speaks truth to the fact that representation matters and shares concrete data to make the case. It also is solution focused with goals that support local districts in developing viable institutional systems and structures that unapologetically prioritize diversifying our teaching staff. All of our students benefit when this outcome is achieved. We can and we must do better. Good work is happening across the state. The Increasing Teacher of Color Act has the potential to be an anchor in continuing this important work.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next, we have Idil Abdul, parent advocate. And Ms. Abdul, I understand that you provided written testimony to the committee. If that's the case, I'd ask you to keep your comments brief because we do have that written testimony as well. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. I wasn't able to see myself. First, I want to thank your staff. I am so not technology savvy, and Brittany has been helping me, so I appreciate that so much.
Wonderful.
Mr. Chair and members, good morning. Many thanks for the opportunity to testify and speak for my son and so many others like him. My name is Idil Abdul. I also would like to take a moment, if I may, and thank Representative Hassan for wanting to ensure our kids succeed in school. I'm in full support of House File 2017. Students are like blank pages. What fills those pages is what their teacher writes on it. Therefore, it is crucial that we have teachers who are in this profession for the right reasons, that is to foster, care, and mold young, impressionable minds. As I've said in this committee many last session, the session before that, and other education committees in the House and Senate, my son, who has nonverbal autism, was suspended on May 3rd at 5:18 p.m. in 2018 by a white female teacher, Kelly Morris, and Principal Jason Anderson in Jefferson High School, which I know you went to, Mr. Chair, in Bloomington Public Schools. And I often wonder if Kelly and Jason reflected my kid, would the outcome have been different? If Kelly was a teacher of color, would she have seen a child who's autistic and was having a behavior and didn't have his communication device, and instead of calling the principal security? And I know I only have a minute left. Thank you, Sarah. So I'm just going to summarize it and say, because of that experience, I took my kid to a charter school. His teacher is Somali. Most of the kids are Somalis. And I'm stress-free. Like, I'm not pissed off all the time right now. I'm not worried. And I think there is a difference. Like I've seen so many people here, so many young kids testify. We need teachers to reflect the students, because it really does matter. It really does matter. It matters to me. And I hope you read for your pleasure the articles and the research that I've gathered. And I thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Abdul. Thank you for the written testimony as well. That'll be helpful. Thank you all to all who testified today. We appreciate your engagement. We do have amendments. We have one coded A1. Who brings forward this amendment?
Thank you, Chair Dabney. This is Representative Damuth, and I have the A1 amendment.
Representative Damuth moves the A1 amendment to be before the committee. Keep in mind, please, Representative, that this bill is being laid over, and we do have to adjourn no later than noon.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to Rep. Hassan for bringing this bill forward. Also, thank you to each one of the testifiers, those that chose to be here in person with us, and then also those that submitted written testimony. The A1 amendment under current law, Section 122A.16, defines anyone holding a valid license, which would include Tier 1 and Tier 2 license, as being a qualified teacher. Yet Pelsby distinguishes only Tier 3 and Tier 4 as professional licenses. Given the percentage of Tier 1 and Tier 2 teachers who are educators of color, it is simply an insult to refer or view their contributions to the classroom instruction as anything other than professional. So the A1 amendment defines professional license to include licenses issued for Tiers 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that is my amendment, Mr. Chair. I would request a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Damuth. Representative Hassan, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Damuth, for this amendment. I will just say for the record, this bill is not ready for prime time. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And as I have said in ed policy, I'll say it again, that I am open to working everyone and making sure that the bill is impactful. So at this time, I'll decline to accept this amendment, but I'm open to working with Rep. Damuth and others to continue to make this bill better. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. I appreciate your willingness to work collaboratively with other members. Ms. Sunderland, please take the roll.
Chair Dabney.
Chair votes no.
Vice Chair Sandsted.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha votes aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Feist.
No.
Representative Jordan.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, no.
Representative Mueller.
Mueller, aye.
Representative Richardson.
No.
Representative Thompson is excused. Representative Wolgamott.
No.
Representative Zhang.
No.
Representative Joachim.
No.
With nine no's, it does not pass.
The motion does not prevail. How many ayes, Ms. Sunderland?
Seven.
Thank you very much. We have an A2 amendment. Whose amendment is that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Damuth, and I would like to offer the A2 amendment, and I would request a roll call.
Representative Damuth moves the A2 amendment. Representative Damuth, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We know only 5% of Tier 3 or 4 teachers are identified as teachers of color versus 21% of the Tier 1 and 2 teachers. Yet the law requires school districts to first try to hire from a pool of educators that is only 5% teachers of color or indigenous. Therefore, the current law effectively requires districts to try to hire an educator that is probably white before they can consider hiring a teacher of color. So the A2 amendment repeals the current law requirement for schools to post and try to hire a tier 2, 3, or 4 licensed teacher before hiring a tier 1 licensed teacher or seeking to renew an existing tier 1 license. And with that, Mr. Chair, that is the A2 amendment.
Thank you very much. Representative Hassan, to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chair. I would, again, decline this amendment as well. We're, you know, looking at quality versus quantity. I would hate to fall into the trap of we want to, you know, we're in dire need of teachers of color and American Indian teachers, so we're going to hire teachers who don't have qualifications and don't have the resources to be effective at their work. When we hire teachers of color and American Indian teachers, as well as other teachers, we want to make sure that these teachers have the qualification and they have the respect of their colleagues and they can effectively make an impact on those young people. So I will respectfully decline this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Ms. Sunderland, please take the roll.
Chair Dabney.
Chair votes no.
Vice Chair Sandsted.
Sandsted, no.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha votes aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
Erickson votes aye.
Representative Feist.
No.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan, no.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, no.
Representative Mueller.
Mueller votes aye.
Representative Richardson.
No.
Representative Thompson is excused. Representative Wolgamott.
No.
Representative Zhang.
No.
Representative Joachim.
No.
We have 9 nays and 7 yays.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderland. The motion does not prevail. Representative Damuth, I'm going to guess that the A3 is yours.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the A3 amendment and request a roll call.
Representative Damuth moves the A3 amendment before the committee. Representative Damuth, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In virtually every discussion that we have, including those testimonies heard before the Select Committee on Racial Justice, advocates from communities of color highlighted that policies commonly referred to as last in and first out have a negative effect and impact on educators of color. Minnesota has the distinction, as we've heard in this committee already this year, for a number of teachers of the year being dismissed because their hiring date was more important than their value or quality as a teacher in the classroom. Ending this outdated, quality-blind practice for teacher retention will have a positive impact to plugging the holes in our system that push too many teachers of color out of our classroom. And so with that, Mr. Chair, the A3 amendment prohibits the use of seniority in the hiring or dismissal of a teacher and requires districts to report all new teacher hires and terminations, including layoffs, by race and ethnicity. And that is my A3 amendment. I would like to request the roll call.
Thank you, Representative Damuth. Representative Hassan, to the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Rep. Damuth. This is at least one that we somewhat agree. I also think that not only hiring is important, that retention is also important. And I am working with advocates, and I invite you to work with us to, make sure that, last one in and is the first one out policy can be reformed. At this time, I would decline this amendment, but I invite you to work with us because I'm working with many different groups of people. I even have, legal team looking at this, but I will not accept the amendment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Ms. Sunderland, please take the roll.
Chair Dabney.
Dabney votes no.
Vice Chair Sandsted.
Sandsted, no.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damuth.
Damuth votes aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Drazkowski, aye.
Representative Erickson.
Erickson, aye.
Representative Feist.
No.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan, no.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, no.
Representative Mueller.
Mueller votes aye.
Representative Richardson.
No.
Representative Thompson is excused. Representative Wolgamott.
No.
Representative Zhang.
No.
Representative Joachim.
No.
With 9 nays and we have 7 yays.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderland. The Damuth motion for the A3 amendment does not prevail. Representative Hassan, any closing comments?
I know we're right on the bed at noon, so I'll just say thank you for giving me the time to talk about this issue that's extremely important, and I want to thank all the testifiers.
Representative Hassan, thank you for that. Thank you for bringing this important bill before us. To all the testifiers, particularly the members of the public who chose to participate today, either by submitting written testimony or testifying with the committee this morning, thank you very much for your engagement. With that, members, the Marquardt motion that House File 217 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.